Chapter 4. Yitra's mother had the whole family packing everything into bundles. The donkeys were loaded down. The little ones were rolling up the rug off the dirt floor, the fine rug which had been perhaps their most important single thing. When Yitra's mother saw Joseph, she rose up off her knees and flew into his arms, but she trembled with dry eyes and merely clung to him as if she feared drowning. "You travel safe to Judea," Joseph said. "Even the journey will do you good, and by nightfall your little ones will be far away from the whispers and stares of this place. We know where Yitra lies. We'll see to him." She stared off as if trying to make sense of this. Then in came Naham, the father, with two of his hired hands. We could see the hired hands had forced Naham to come home, and he fell back against the wall, his eyes vacant. "Never mind those creatures," said Joseph to him. "They've fled. They know they did wrong. Leave them to the mercy of heaven. You go on to Judea now and shake the dust of this town off your feet." One of the hired hands, a gentle sort of man, came forward and nodded as he put his arms around Joseph and Naham. "Shemaiah's going to buy your land, and he'll send you a good price," he said. "I'd buy it if I could. You go on. Joseph's right. Those creatures who accused the boys are far away now. They'll probably find their way to the brigands in the mountains. That's where trash like that often goes. What can you do to them, anyway? Can you kill every man in this village?" Yitra's mother closed her eyes and her head dropped. I thought she'd faint, but she didn't. Joseph drew them both closer to him. "You have these little ones now. What will happen to them if you don't stand up to this?" asked Joseph. "Now listen, I want to tell you," he faltered. His eyes were welling with tears. He couldn't find his words. I came close and put my arms on the two of them, and they looked to me suddenly like terrified children. "There was no trial, as you know," I said. "That means that no one will ever know what Yitra did or the orphan did, or how it was, or when it was, or if nothing ever happened. No one will know. No one can know. Not even the little boys who accused them knew. Only heaven knows. Now you mustn't have a trial for the boys in your heart. There can't be one. And that means there should be none. And so you mourn for Yitra in your heart. And Yitra is forever innocent. He has to be. It can't be otherwise, not this side of heaven." Yitra's mother looked up at me. Her eyes narrowed, and then she nodded. Naham gave no expression, but slowly he moved to pick up the bundles that remained, and sluggishly he carried them out to the waiting animals. "We wish you a safe journey," said Joseph. "And now you must tell me if you need anything for the journey. My sons and I will get whatever you need." "Wait," said Yitra's mother. She went to a chest that lay on the floor and undid the fastenings. Out of it she took a folded garment, what might have been a wool mantle. "This," she said, as she gave it to me, "this is for Silent Hannah." Silent Hannah was the orphan's sister. "You will take care of her, won't you?" the woman asked. Joseph was amazed. "My child, my poor child," he said. "So kind of you to think of Silent Hannah at a time such as this. Of course we'll take care of her. We'll always take care of her."